I'm Lisa Prather, and welcome to The Voice of Health with our host, Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, where lives are changed every day through the natural approach to healthcare.
Well, today we're going to talk about America's hidden health crisis, chronic fatigue syndrome, but now there's a new name, myalgic encephalomyelitis. Hey!
Very good job.
I've been practicing. But in this next 45 minutes, I'm going to be calling it MECFS.
Sounds good. It's a little bit easier to say.
Because I'm one for one. I want to stay that way. Well, Dr. Prather, why change the name from chronic fatigue syndrome? So they've changed the name.
They've changed the name. The name was changed in 2015.
Okay.
So it's a recent change, but it was very much needed.
Okay. So why does the CDC call this America's hidden health crisis?
Well, let me go on with the name change.
Okay.
Yes. Get into that a little bit, because that's sort of a big deal.
I avoided having to say it.
Yeah, that's right.
So I was under the next question.
You were off. Because that's a very involved type of thing, because when I was being trained on this, we had I'm a diplomat, American Board of Chiropractic Internists, and we had a whole section in there on chronic fatigue syndrome. And one of the we went through the diagnoses, and basically I was trained on this condition in depth. But one of the things that was always stated was chronic fatigue syndrome doesn't get any respect. Mm-hmm. Matter of fact, when
I just wanted to start singing.
What's that?
R-E-S-P-E-C.
So, yeah, there's no respect. I got you. It took me a little while. But chronic fatigue syndrome, when we would give that diagnosis, and our teacher sat there and said, you know, we say, hey, this is chronic fatigue syndrome. They go back to their primary care physician, or they go to their family, and they say, I have chronic fatigue syndrome, and everybody rolls their eyes.
Mm-hmm.
Because, you're just tired, you know, and you're tired a lot. And so everybody's tired.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not what's going on. So, you know, this wasn't just that, you know, that this was a small group of people said, hey, we got to change the name. The Department of Health and Human Services, mm-hmm. National Institute of Health, Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality, Centers for Disease Control and Prevention, Food and Drug Administration, and the Social Security Administration all got together and said, hey, we've got a problem. Our name, chronic fatigue syndrome, for this condition, it's being way underdiagnosed. The patients are embarrassed about it. We've got a wrong name for this,
mm-hmm.
on a very serious condition.
Respected.
Right. It this isn't working. So they went to the Institute of Medicine, which are like the top think tank, and said, change the name.
Mm.
So they sat down there and you know, in the aspects of myalgic encephalomyelitis does describe the condition very, very well, and all the different types of aspects that goes into it. And so they came up with that excellent name. And if you sit there and
Uncle, I beg to differ. If you can't say it, no, I'm kidding.
Uncle Joe sits there and says, "Hey, what have you got?" And you sit there and say chronic fatigue syndrome. He's going to roll his eyes. If you say you have myalgic encephalomyelitis, they go and get you a pillow and have you sit down and say, hey, is there anything I can do for you?
Yeah, it's in the name.
And, you know, what they're trying to do is get across the seriousness of the condition. And it is a very serious condition.
Mm-hmm. All kidding aside,
you know, it wasn't getting respect.
Mm-hmm.
It wasn't being diagnosed, even among the physicians, on the educated people who should be taking it seriously. Now, we did take it seriously.
Mm-hmm. You studied extensively.
We had studied this extensively and how to work with this. Mm-hmm. And I had have had a tremendous number of patients. And one of the things is that the patients would always complain and say, you know, I don't like this diagnosis. You know, my husband looked at me and said, you know, so you're tired.
Buck up.
Yeah, buck up. I went to my primary care physician and he said, here, you want some Valium. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. So it just wasn't getting the point across, and you know it was creating a very big situation that was costing the government quite a bit of money.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so why does the CDC call this America's hidden health crisis?
They estimate that 90 to 95% of the people aren't diagnosed properly with this condition. So if you're not getting a proper diagnosis, you're not getting treated for it, and it's not being taken care of. And if it's not being treated, then it's becoming a much greater problem than if it was taken seriously and managed properly.
You're saying 90 to 95%.
That is what the Center of Disease Control is saying. There are people who are saying it's even higher. Mm-hmm. So it is definitely Americans' hidden health crisis. The CDC is making a very concerted effort on trying to educate physicians and the public about this condition. It's still not there yet. Mm-hmm. You know, that's one of the reasons that I decided to do this radio program about it, is to emphasize and to get it out there the best way that I possibly can, educating my patients, educating other doctors. The reason that we have this radio program is education. You know, to educate as many people as we possibly can, do our part. We are trying to get the word out there. The Center of Disease Control would like me to. Mm-hmm. And so if I can get this information out, then we're doing a very important public service.
So how many Americans have this condition?
Well, the numbers, basically they say, we don't know. Mm-hmm. The estimate right now, as they've done surveys and trying to see, and they say we might be grossly underreporting it, but they're saying somewhere between 860,000 to 2.5 million. At this point, but that's what they can show at this time. As they get into this, it might be even higher numbers than that.
Mm, right, since they've been, what do you say, 90 to 95%?
Haven't been diagnosed.
Diagnosed. Yeah.
So, you know, they're trying to go by, what they're doing is they're looking at the number of people who are on disability. And as they look at their symptoms, they look at that, and they're having about that number of people on disability with these symptoms. Mm. So that's how they came up with this number.
Okay. So who gets this disease?
Well, it's usually people, the most common times are between 33 and 50. Though they have shown that it has occurred in children as young as 10.
Oh, it can occur in children.
It can occur in children. I have had children much younger than that, mm-hmm. who were actually showing this. Mm-hmm. I had a mother bring in two adopted children, and they have this condition. And we were looking at the time at 2 and 4.
Wow.
So I've seen it even younger. And there have been people who have developed it in their 70s, 80s, and 90s. So it can, a wide range of people, most commonly it's between the ages of 33 and 50, four times more likely in women than in men. From the statistics that they can find, it is more common in minorities, though Caucasians are a much higher rate of diagnosis because of better medical care. Mm-hmm. But they do feel that even minorities have a higher level of this condition even than the Caucasians, even though it's skewed on the actual diagnosis.
Interesting.
Women get it four times more likely than men.
Said that.
Yeah, four times more likely. So, you know, that
you have any
is something
theories
that we found
on that? Or?
Yes. There are some different types of things. Men carry a higher phase angle, which is an electromagnetic charge around the cells. And that helps to the higher. Most people who show up with chronic fatigue syndrome, we can pick that up quite a bit from looking at their phase angle.
And that's through that body comp analysis.
Body composition
analysis.
We did
a show on that this,
right.
2 or 3 weeks ago.
So men have a natural protection along those lines than women do.
Okay. When we come back, more on America's hidden health crisis.
You can win a free 60-minute massage in a relaxing spa at the Prather Practice. Each month, we have a drawing to give away a free massage to one of our lucky Facebook and Twitter fans. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
What I'm talking about today is the Atlas Orthogonal Technique, which is very dear to my heart. The Atlas Orthogonal Technique is really what saved my life. I had Graves' disease and was having a lot of difficulties with it. And I went and had an Atlas Orthogonist adjust my neck, and within 3 months, all my health problems were actually gone. So that's at the time that I decided to dedicate myself to the pursuit of people's health, because I had such a relief along this. And the basis and the cornerstone of my practice is the Atlas Orthogonal Technique, which is a specific adjustment to the cervical spine, concentrating on the atlas as a lever mechanism. The area of the atlas, occiput, and axis is the most important area of your body. It is the lower brainstem, which controls all the autonomic nervous system, the whole nervous system that is beyond our mental control, and is considered by the body as the most important area. Any type of an injury to that area will cause instantaneous death. So looking at that and working with it can have a very, very huge impact on people's health and well-being. I actually was able to go with an intern with Dr. Sweat, who is the originator of the Atlas Orthogonal technique, and was able to be involved in the complete development. I was in the original six who was trained in that. I am at this point the only board-certified Atlas Orthogonist in the state of Indiana. It is a 3-year postgraduate work and can have a huge impact on people's health. Matter of fact, I consider that probably the most important thing that you can do to have the biggest impact on your health is to actually have your atlas put back into proper position. That is something that someone needs to have done, to have checked, and make sure that that's good and should be checked at least once a year.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. Have you ever been curious about how acupuncture can benefit your health? The Prather Practice has received the NDA List Award for Best in Acupuncture for 2 years in a row. And we've been rated the top acupuncture provider by Google Plus. Dr. Robert Prather is a board-certified licensed acupuncturist. He's earned a reputation for combining effective acupuncture-based techniques with cutting-edge technology to help patients with many conditions. Acupuncture is documented and proven to help with many health issues, including pain, allergies, addiction control, anxiety, fatigue, vision problems, infertility, and so much more. We even have needle-free options for those who are a bit squeamish around needles. Call the Prather Practice to schedule your appointment and experience the benefits of acupuncture for yourself. 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice, the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest.
Today we're talking about America's hidden health crisis, chronic fatigue syndrome, which is now called myalgic encephalomyelitis.
Whoa.
Whoa, I'm two for two now. And if you missed the first segment, you know, or MECFS. Very interesting. The name changed from chronic fatigue syndrome to this new name.
Right.
Happened in 2015.
2015. Again, it was a it was much needed, and they really recognized the importance of that.
Has that name been converted over?
Well, most doctors aren't really aware
of it.
Yeah. So there's still a gap on that. Those who are in the field like we are on heavy on structure function care are very aware of it. But the estimates are that 90% of the physicians are not even aware of that diagnosis.
Okay.
As a possibility.
Well, let's talk about what are the costs of this disease.
This was the reason that these departments all got together, especially the Social Security Administration.
Yeah, I'm like, why are they getting involved?
Because that's one of the major costs that Social Security is paying for is disability for this disease.
For this disease.
So they feel if they could get this better under control, that it would really cut quite a few costs and better outcome for people's lives.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is that one fourth of all the people with myalgic encephalomyelitis are bedridden.
One fourth.
One fourth are bedridden and can't function. You know, at least at some time during their disease.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, your productivity is way down. And it also lowers the productivity of those who are even out there trying to function. But the loss of productivity, high medical costs, because there's an awful lot of costs associated with. The government is saying it costs $17 to $24 billion annually.
Mm.
So that gets the government's attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know, when you have that kind of a cost going into it, one disease, then this is a crisis.
And no wonder they're calling it America's hidden health crisis.
It is. And it's even the physicians are completely unaware of it. And bringing that to the attention, dealing that in a much more effective way is one of the main goals of this awareness.
Mm-hmm. So what are the symptoms of myalgic encephalomyelitis?
The way that they like to diagnose that is there's a severe fatigue for 6 months. So you have to have the problem for at least 6 months.
Severe fatigue.
Severe fatigue.
Okay.
And there are ways to do different kinds. Matter of fact, they have a questionnaire that you can fill out to confirm that. In other words, they made a very set means
like
of diagnosis.
Screening. Okay.
So we do have that available that we can get that, confirm it. We also are trying to send that into the CDC so that we can keep track of the number of people that we're dealing with on that, and then keep a very precise type of way of doing that. So we have certain questions that show that up on whether it really is severe fatigue or not, and it's a very accurate way of doing it. It's not caused by a diagnosable disease. In other words, it's not from cancer, it's not from cardiovascular disease, it's not from other different types of things, though it can be a part of a disease. So trying to separate that out is an important aspect. There's always some cognitive impairment. That's where the whole part of the encephalo comes from, because it always affects the brain thinking.
Mm.
So that's one of the things that is a very definite part of this disease process. There's always muscle or joint pains, though not in children usually. Usually it's in adults. Children get more of the fatigue, headaches, and abdominal pain. are the way that it shows up. So we have a different criteria for children as opposed to adults. But headaches are almost always a part of this issue. And again, part of the problem with the cognitive thinking, they're related to each other. Lymph nodes are always swollen. So finding that going on is a big part. Oftentimes there's a sore throat. You can go to sleep and sleep as long as you want to, and you wake up and you're still tired. And then any type of mental or physical work results in complete exhaustion. In other words, wow, I tried to do this, you know, I tried to really sit down and study, and I'm just, you know, I just have to go to bed. I'm completely exhausted.
Mm-hmm.
So those are the symptoms that you're looking at that have a very strong indication that you have this particular disease process.
Well, I'm looking at the name, myalgic encephalomyelitis. So you have brain.
Right.
Muscle.
Muscle.
Inflammation.
And inflammation through the body.
Mm-hmm.
So that in other words, I think they did a good job explaining
the new name.
Uh-huh. The new name really covers the aspects of it.
So what causes ME/CFS?
Now, they aren't completely sure.
Mm-hmm.
But what they have found is that it's an underlying infection. Viral, stronger possibility. Funguses are also involved, and mycoplasma infections are also a big part of this. So the ones that have been shown, and it's not just usually one infection, but it's usually several. And the ones that seem to be very strong indicators are Epstein-Barr virus, Lyme's disease, rickettsia, retroviruses, bornaviruses, fungi, mycoplasma, flu viruses are involved. And then one that seems to be of special interest is xenotrophic murine leukemia, or XMRV. And then there's cytomegalovirus. In other words, there's quite a few that can be involved that have been shown up as culprits. Now, which is one thing that we had found quite a bit in our early research back in the 1980s, that was one of the major factors that we needed to look at and always to address to give people the symptomatic relief that they needed.
And when you say found, you're talking about viral infections?
Viral infections. Mm-hmm. That was one of the big things that we were looking at.
So you can have these viruses, but if that infection lays dormant or go...
Gets it under control, right. So... one of the things that is a very common type of aspect of this particular disease is a weakened immune system. You know, so there are oftentimes, in other words, anti-nuclear antibodies can sometimes show up, then not.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when doctors are looking at this, it's a very confusing type of infection. But they can always tell that the immune system is being compromised. So the immune system seems to be one of the biggest keys and the biggest areas that we look at it trying to improve.
Mm-hmm.
Because when these infections accumulate in the system, it starts to wear down the immune system. And as the immune system wears down, that has a great deal to do with with this disease.
Mm-hmm.
So one of the things that we would look at was specifically on the lymphocyte count, and if it went below a certain number, then we would classify as chronic fatigue syndrome, was the way that we were looking at the diagnosis. Some of the different types of lab tests, they're a little bit more involved now, but they were along the same types of lines to show the indications that this is probably what's going on.
Mm, interesting. Now, are genetics involved?
There does seem to be a pattern within families. So there is a belief that some people have a genetic predisposition to these particular types of infections going on.
Mm-hmm.
So a little bit of a weakened immune system. And then one of the interesting things is the reason the phase angle is so important. The higher the phase angle, the higher the electromagnetic charge around the cells. High electromagnetic charge around the cells fights off viruses.
Mm-hmm.
So when the electromagnetic charge is weakened on the cells. Viruses are much more easily can attack the cell, replicate, and then move on to another one.
Interesting. So what are the established treatments for ME/CFS?
They don't have any.
Okay. You're not answering the question.
The main thing is lifestyle changes.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to modify your activity level, getting the sleep you need, making changes along the system, going for a much better diet, healthier type of a system, not over-exercising, because over-exercise seems to make the condition worse. So you can't exercise your way out of this particular problem.
Mm-hmm.
Relaxation techniques seems to be a very helpful type of a program. The antivirals don't seem to be working in this condition. So it's more of a lifestyle type of modification and changes is what they're recommending.
So it doesn't sound like they're getting to the root of it.
They are not.
Infection.
Yeah, it's a... but, you know, when you're talking, they're approaching this from a disease type of a standpoint.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where we kind of get into some problems.
Okay. When we come back, we're going to talk about the structural functional approach to this disease.
Listen to the Voice of Health Radio on your smartphone or tablet on all of the top radio apps available. TuneIn Radio, Stitcher, and iHeartRadio. You can find these apps and more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. Laughter is the best medicine.
Going down Shepherd Drive in Houston. Somebody pulled out of the Blockbusters all excited about their movie. Didn't see me. The first thing those boys did in the ambulance, you need to know this. They cut off my britches in front of God and everybody. They didn't say, may I cut off your britches? They just cut them off. And you know, your mama was right. Always wear clean underwear, because you never know when they're going to cut your britches off. And mine were clean before I hit Shepherd.
Are you frustrated by not getting to the root cause of your health issue? Are you tired of not knowing why you're always fatigued? Are you wanting to say no to toxic drugs? Have you lost hope? Are you just tired of being sick and tired? At the Prather Practice, we want you to know that we have the answers for you. We offer the alternative to the disease care model. We are the drug-free model to health and wellness. At the Prather Practice, we look for the underlying cause of your health problem and not just the symptomatology. Through thorough diagnostics, we find your individual health blueprint for your treatment. Where the disease care model is symptom-based, the structure-function model we practice gets to the root of your health issue. The Prather Practice is the most comprehensive wellness center in the Midwest. Our integrated practice offers you the most treatment options to restore your health and your hope. Learn more about the Prather Practice by calling 317-848-8048 or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. I'm Lisa Prather, and you're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where we get to the root cause of your health issue.
We're talking today about America's hidden health crisis, chronic fatigue syndrome. The new name is myalgic encephalomyelitis, or we can call it, say it, ME/CFS.
Mm-hmm.
We talked about the established treatment, which is more lifestyle changes. There's really nothing that gets to the root issue in traditional medicine. So what is the structural functional approach that we do at the Prather Practice for this disease?
Well, you know, when you're talking about the disease approach is to get the symptoms under control. I mean, we do have antibiotics that are extremely helpful for the bacteria. Mm-hmm. But we really have not been successful in coming up with our antivirals. Now, you know, we do have some success along those lines, but in these types of cases, they're not really working. So one of the main things is if we can take the health of the body and get it better. You know, the more improvements that you can make in the health of the system, if you have a toxic liver and you get it detoxed, that really helps the patients out quite a bit. Mm-hmm. If you have a weakened kidneys and you improve that, then the health of the patient. If you can get the nervous system working better, the electromagnetic system, get the lymphatics cleared mm-hmm. in the body. If you can get the nutritional health of the system, you know, where you've got all the vitamins, minerals that you need, getting rid of the toxins in the system, heavy metals, and then also boosting the immune system, are all different aspects that make dramatic changes in these patients. All of these things also help to raise up the phase angle of the body, which helps the body. The healthier the body is, the much better it is to able to fight off the infections that are causing the problem. Mm-hmm. So really looking at that and approaching it not from a disease model where we're attacking the viruses, because at this point the viruses are too smart and too good at avoiding it.
Mm-hmm. So we're building the immune system.
Building the body up. Uh-huh. So the idea of structure function care is to bring the body back into homeostasis. Homeostasis is a balance in the system. The more the body is imbalanced, the less it's able to fight off these things. The more it is in balance, the body is much more able to handle the situation. Now, is it a cure? No. But do we see dramatic changes in the lifestyles and the ability of the patient to live a normal life? Absolutely. Mm. And that's the main thing that we're trying for at this time. At some point, we might be able to come up with something that can really help out dramatically. And one of the things that we are getting into is regenerative medicine. There is some excellent research on that is showing some help. And one of the main areas that we are looking at is something called exosomes, which we'll be getting into talking about on the radio program much later. It's still a new area, but in our office we are starting that. Mm-hmm. And that does show some real promise, especially in this particular disease process.
So why does the structure function approach work better than the disease approach for this condition, the ME?
Good CFS. Question.
And you know, I'm going back and forth using the word condition, disease.
Correct. It is classified as a disease.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Yes, they have really looked at this as a disease. Myalgic encephalomyelitis is classified as a disease at this point. And the structure function approach on this is at this point really the only way of getting success with this particular disease process.
Well, let's talk about treatments. That's my favorite area.
Yes.
What treatments do you do at the Prather practice for myalgic encephalomyelitis?
The most important area is homeopathy. Hmm. Mm-hmm. The idea behind homeopathy, just to let you know, is a very controversial subject, though it has been around for a very long time.
Highly effective.
Yes, it has a tremendous amount of
research.
Research mm-hmm. and evidence that it is effective if it is used right. The whole problem is trying to find out exactly what products are going to work the best, because you need to nail it exactly to get the results. Mm-hmm. But what it does is, like, if you're talking about an Epstein-Barr virus, what we do is we give a homeopathic for the Epstein-Barr virus. Now, that doesn't affect the Epstein-Barr virus specifically, but what it does do, the way that we feel that it works from the research that has been shown, is that it helps the body to identify that the Epstein-Barr virus is a foreign invader. In other words, it helps the areas of the white blood cell to know to tag the Epstein-Barr virus, and then which gives the opportunity for the white blood cells to come by and eat them. Mm-hmm. So it is an identification type of a way. And as we can recognize which viruses are going on, or mycoplasma, or whatever else is happening, we can give the homeopathics in there, and that stimulates the immune system. Because one of the things that the virus is trying to do is to have the immune system ignore it.
Mm-hmm.
So it's using camouflage, it's trying to become a part of the body. And in other words, it's like a spy has slipped in and trying to pretend that it's going to cause havoc in the body, but try to pretend that it's a part of the body.
Mm-hmm.
And the homeopathy helps the body to identify it, go after it. And we see some remarkable changes.
It's like the FBI.
Right. In other words, it goes in there and says, you know, hey, you know, he sits there and goes, you're not supposed to be here. And all the white blood cells go, oh, okay, that's the guy I need to go after.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how homeopathy works, is it works with the body, not against it. So it's also, whenever you're talking about pharmaceuticals, one of the things is that they were talking, you know, as the Center of Disease Control, is a lot of the pharmaceuticals aren't really helping because we got a weakened body. And weakened bodies have a stronger reaction because all pharmaceuticals have negative disease-causing
right,
aspects
just listen to
it.
The commercials.
If it doesn't have those aspects to it, then it can't be classified as a pharmaceutical.
Mm-hmm.
So with a weakened individual, most of the people that come in and they have myalgic encephalomyelitis said, I can't take pharmaceuticals. I take them and, you look at the list of all the side effects, I have them all.
Mm-hmm.
And then I have some that they don't know about.
Mm-hmm.
So the people who have this problem have in our office, we have seen that they do not do well. Even when an antibiotic is indicated, mm-hmm. they don't do well with the antibiotics either. They have all the side effects. So these people do not do well with pharmaceuticals.
Interesting. So what role, so we talked about homeopathy, what role do supplements play?
Supplements are a very important part. If you are not, one of the things is that this particular disease process puts a greater strain on the body. Greater strains of the body means that you have probably more nutritional deficiencies than the average person. So checking those out, finding out specifically what those are, there are lab tests to determine that, and finding out what they are, getting those into the system really helps to bring the body back into normal homeostasis, which helps the immune system to work better.
Mm-hmm.
If you are low on your vitamin D, you're low on your iodine, if you're low on your vitamin C, if you're low on your B vitamins, vitamin A, your immune system is not going to work properly, and that's going to give the viruses or the infections a greater chance to multiply and be more effective. So supplementation is absolutely critical to working with this disease process.
What about the role of herbals?
Herbals. There are some excellent herbals, and one of the nice things about the herbals is that there are some excellent herbals that do stimulate the body's ability to fight off viruses. So getting those into the system, making sure that you've got the right ones, is something that is very, very helpful. So
what I like that we do at the Prather practice, too, there's no guesswork.
Right.
We know which herbal will work, or supplement, or homeopathy.
Or pharmaceutical.
Uh-huh. For that patient.
For that patient. We test that out and see how the body's going to react with it before they take it.
Okay. Well, when we come back, more on America's hidden health crisis.
Never miss an episode of The Voice of Health so that you can stay informed and empowered about your health. Get a podcast of our show automatically delivered to you every week by signing up for our show on iTunes. You can find that link on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. And don't forget, thevoiceofhealthradio.com has complete archives of all of our past episodes with an audio library of information to help you add more life to your years and more years to your life. This is The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather. The Voice of Health Wellness Tip with Dr. Robert Prather of the Prather Practice.
Dr. Prather, what is homeopathy?
Homeopathy is the laws of similars. What they found is that they would take a product, some type of a substance, and if it could reproduce the same symptoms in large amounts, then it would be able to then be used in small amounts to stop those symptoms in someone's health. And interestingly enough, what they found, they started that with quinine. Quinine is what's used to treat malaria. Mm-hmm. It was something that was a big deal back in the time that they were first coming up with homeopathy. And the cinchona bark is where quinine comes from. And one of the things that Samuel Hahnemann did was he took large amounts of it and was able to show that he was able to reproduce the same symptoms as malaria. So then if you took it into smaller quantities, then you could actually get relief of those symptoms instead of actually suffering with them. There was a typhoid epidemic in France, and Napoleon hired Hahnemann to treat his French subjects, and he was able to stop the typhoid. And then Napoleon's army came down with cholera, and he was able to stop the cholera epidemic through homeopathy, where the normal type of treatments didn't work. So it's the law of similars. Mm-hmm. That's where the homeo comes from. And then pathic is, of course, diseases. So homeopathy is very much like when you are working with allergies. Mm-hmm. So let's say you have an allergy to ragweed. So what you do in trying to stop the allergies is you will take a smaller and smaller dose. Mm-hmm. The smaller the dose, the more effective the reactions on stopping the allergies. So we use the laws of homeopathy in allergy treatments. In the same way, we can use homeopathy as a treatment more on a vibrational level that stimulates the body to correct itself.
So not only for allergies, but for
Everything. It's amazing all the different types of things that homeopathy can be used for. As a matter of fact, homeopathy can be used for every single disease or discomfort that people have
condition.
Out there.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely anything. So it's a very versatile type of a treatment. It works with the body instead of against the body. And one of the nice things is that there's no side effects.
Schedule your appointment at the Prather Practice, 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Or learn more on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com. The Prather Practice, restoring hope. You're listening to The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather of The Prather Practice, where our mission is restoring hope to our patients.
We're talking today about America's hidden health crisis, chronic fatigue syndrome, the new name being myalgic encephalomyelitis.
You're getting good at that.
I really am. It's rolling off the tongue.
I'm very impressed.
I am too. Because practice makes perfect, right?
There you go.
Or it's called also MECFS. We were talking about treatment and the structure function approach at the Prather Practice and how we look and treat this disease. We talked about homeopathy and how important that is, supplementation, herbals.
Sure.
Let's talk about how does chiropractic help?
Very definitely the nervous system and the endocrine system are the two areas that you are always looking at that controls everything else. Mm-hmm. And chiropractic has a direct result, a direct effect on the nervous system. So we can do pre and post checks on the nervous system, see how it's working, and can see an immediate change after a chiropractic adjustment, getting that lined up. So our patients with this condition have a tremendous amount. They're much more sensitive to pain than the average person.
So people with this disease.
Disease. So when you do get a misalignment, the sensitivity on that is much, much higher than the average person. Mm-hmm. And so trying to get that under control is much more important because they have muscle pains, joint pains, and the chiropractic really, really helps out with that. You see a big reduction. And the more pain that they have, the more it wears down the system. The more it wears down the system, the lower the phase angle, the higher the infection gets. Mm-hmm. So reducing the pain, and then also the nervous system, it tells the body to make the white blood cells. So if the nervous system is not working properly.
The nervous system does.
And mm-hmm. matter of fact, the nervous system tells the endocrine system what to do. And the combination of the two tells the entire body what to do.
So is why chiropractic is so important.
Correct.
Chiropractic works on the nervous system.
You can't really have effective structure function care if you don't have chiropractic included into it. Mm-hmm. Because that is the way that you deal and get the nervous system working correctly, and absolutely critical for everyone's health, chiropractic.
And that just reminded me of the maintenance chiropractic adjustments. Very important.
Sure.
Very important because of that.
Yes, absolutely. Maintaining the health of the individual.
What about acupuncture? Can that be helpful?
Oh, very we just recently had a patient with this condition, stuck the needles in, and it was not wanting to to do it.
To do the acupuncture.
They weren't, and I said, just give it a try, give one try.
Was it a man?
No, this was actually a female, but men can be the same way. And they were like, what did you do? Were there drugs in that thing? Because all my pain is all gone. Mm. And just having that relief for that, it started to come back in about 2 days, which is normal. Mm-hmm. But as we hit the acupuncture points on a regular basis, eventually the pain all went away.
Oh,
so
wonderful.
You know, you're talking about a combination of the chiropractic, acupuncture is really amazing effects on all patients, but the patients with the myalgic encephalomyelitis really notice a great difference on that. Mm, huge difference.
What about therapeutic massage? Is that helpful?
Very helpful. You want to be, because they are more sensitive, have more lymphatic types of issues. So the massage therapist has to know how to work with this particular patient. Mm-hmm. But if you know what you're doing, they say, can I just stay here?
Can I just sleep on your table?
Right. So yes, that is a very, very effective means of working with these people.
So with this disease, what diagnostics are important?
Well, of course, the blood work, and mm-hmm. especially looking at the doing a very thorough job on the immune system is critical. But with this, you've got an awful lot of organ systems that are breaking down. So you have to be extremely thorough. You have to look at the endocrine system, liver function, kidney function, the minerals very thoroughly at the immune system, and then follow those things and make sure that they get back to back into homeostasis. Mm-hmm. So, we recommend regular blood work, at least annual, for a healthy patient. But for these patients, we need to do it at least every 3 months to keep an eye on what's going on in the patient system.
So blood work every 3 months.
Yeah. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Why is blood work so fundamental to treating this disease?
The blood work, as you know, we were going through our program and looking at the whole structure function, gives you the blueprint for the body. It tells you more about what's going on in the system than any one thing, and it's a really a non-invasive, easy way to do it, and the amount of information that you get is absolutely amazing. Mm-hmm. So very thorough blood tests. One of the things is that we have patients who are coming in and they go, wow, this was the most thorough blood test I've ever had.
Mm-hmm.
And that is one thing that we are very proud that we're doing that, and feel that it's extremely necessary, and especially for people with this disease process.
Yeah, very thorough blood test is important. Solve the healthcare crisis if doctors approached it like this.
Oh, absolutely. You know, if we can make structure, the ideal situation is we believe very strongly in disease care, and we believe very strongly in structure function care, and the two really needs to integrate and quit fighting each other.
Right.
That is our approach.
Healthcare in the United States.
It would solve the healthcare crisis. Mm-hmm. Now, 80% of all healthcare should be structure function care. 20% should be disease care. Mm-hmm. The best way to do this is to have structure function care as the primary care. Where we're taking care of the patients. When the patient is no longer able to maintain homeostasis, that's when disease care is critical. Mm-hmm. And we believe very strongly in both of them, believe that the best way to help people is to combine them and integrate them. And I think if we do that, then we can, we know that we can cut down costs by 60% and improve outcomes by 85%.
Yeah.
It's a proven fact.
Right. Well, let's talk about the role of gut health and with this disease.
The National Institute of Health has been doing a tremendous amount of research, excellent research, on the effect of the gut, especially on the immune system. And of course, as we're talking about myalgic encephalomyelitis, it is an immune system issue. So you cannot effectively treat this disease process unless you have a good understanding of the gut. So we have a very thorough way of looking at that, seeing what's going on, and as we do that, then we can really make a huge difference in people's health by changing the microbiome within the gut.
And what we're talking about, you know, is all covered by most insurances.
Most insurances do cover this. The National Institute of Health says this is really the major area of the future of healthcare. Mm-hmm. And as we can work with this, then we could really see some dramatic changes. And for the myalgic encephalomyelitis, this is really one of the absolutely necessary keys to get that under control.
Let's talk about why is hair analysis or trace minerals important?
We had a patient who was probably one of the most severe cases of this, where any type of effort, mental or physical, resulted in extreme pain. She had to lay down in the back of a station wagon to be able to get to our office. Could not fly, could not drive anywhere past about 10 minutes before extreme pain and fatigue set in. And was basically bedridden. And, you know, she had seen quite a few different doctors, including had seen doctors, had been in communication with doctors all across the United States, and couldn't figure out how to get this under control. One of the things that we did that was different than anyone else is we did a hair analysis on this patient. And we found that she had the highest aluminum levels that the lab had ever seen.
Mm.
And that was the underlying toxicity that was keeping the myalgic encephalomyelitis at such a high level.
This is high aluminum.
The high aluminum. So we were able to detox her on that, get that under control. And functions very well, can fly all over the United States right now, is honestly healthier than her husband, who was having to take care of her at this point, and is functioning. You know, it's still something that she has to be treated, you know, because this disease process really doesn't go away. But we're able to create a health and a lifestyle that is indistinguishable from anyone else's.
Mm-hmm.
And she realizes the importance of continued care to maintain that, because if she didn't, then she would start to slip back into it. But the results were absolutely fantastic in this patient.
Wonderful. We have about 30 seconds. I know we're talking about regenerative medicine. That's something we're going to get into at the Prather practice and talk more about in the future on the radio. Can this help with this disease?
Absolutely. The possibilities of this new science and the changes in healthcare are absolutely phenomenal. I'm very excited about it and glad that we're getting into it.
Okay. Well, thank you, Dr. Prather. Very interesting, this America's hidden health crisis.
Thank you, Lisa.
The Prather Practice is located at 8902 North Meridian Street on the north side of Indianapolis, just south of the I-465 loop. If we can help you to achieve better health, we'd love to hear from you. Connect with our office at 317-848-8048. That's 317-848-8048. Join us again here next week or anytime on our website at thevoiceofhealthradio.com for The Voice of Health with Dr. Robert Prather.